This podcast is intended for investment professionals only.
It's a new day, it's a new week, and it's a new episode of Market Talk for 2022. As we start to get our feet firmly back under the table, we'll be looking at how authorities in the US and China are responding to current inflationary pressures, analysing what was behind last week's US tech wobble, and asking what impact the start of the Q4 earnings season could have on markets more generally. So asking the questions is me, Francis Watson, and answering them in his own succinct style, Ben Bennett, Head of Investment Strategy and Research. Ben, not quite New Year in China, but from the UK, Happy New Year. How are you?
Thanks very much, Francis. Happy New Year to you too. I'm very well. Very well indeed. How are you?
Good. I've kind of missed our conversation, so it's good to see you, albeit virtually, and it's good to hear what you've got to say. So should we kick off then with the US inflation figures last week? I mean, pretty much in line, Ben, but unlikely to stop the Fed's hawkish pivot.
That's right. So we've got the Federal Reserve in a couple of weeks' time. And over the last few weeks, since we last spoke, there's been a decisive turn in market expectations for, as you say, a hawkish pivot from the Federal Reserve. So much so that there's a pretty much near 100% chance priced into markets that they will even hike interest rates, not this time, but in March. So in the next meeting's time. But that's pretty rapid, given that only a few months ago, there was hardly any chance of even a rate hike in the whole of 2022. So that's a dramatic turnabout. It's not just inflation. I mean, inflation has proved to be much more consistent and not temporary, as was first, not transitory, as was first suggested, you know, a few months ago. But also really has been to do with the labor market. The fact that unemployment now in the US has dipped below what the Federal Reserve thinks is the long-term unemployment rate that is sustainable, 4%. It's now down to 3.9%. So it's below where they think is sustainable, and they're doing QE, interest rates are zero. So they really have to ramp up the pressure and start to withdraw that stimulus pretty quickly.
Yeah. Just turning to inflationary pressures in China, okay, they've got their own problems, but inflation doesn't seem to be one of them.
Yeah, the latest data, which was, again, last week, if anything, surprised on the downside, and that's good. That's good for China, because China, remember, is in the totally different cycle. So the Federal Reserve is having to withdraw stimulus. China is looking at an economy that's stalling, and we know some of the reasons why, and we'll talk about the property sector again, I'm sure, in a couple of minutes. They're having to provide stimulus. And the concern in China is that, inflation was perhaps running a bit too high, and that would stop the central bank from being able to provide that stimulus. But with inflation being a little bit lower than expected, that gives them the room. And in fact, today the Bank of China has decided to cut interest rates by about 10 basis points, depending on where you look in the funding curve. So they have actually acted today, and perhaps they needed that confirmation of inflation last week to be able to do that. They're trying to support the economy.
All right. Okay. Good to know. I didn't pick up on that today. Now, just let's go back to the freezing old UK then. The good news from our side of it, and I'm sure you've been reading the headlines, is Omicron looks as though it's past the peak. Obviously, we've got implications there for growth, not just in the UK, but Europe generally, and commodity prices. Just give us your thoughts there, Ben.
Yeah, again, this is linking into the Federal Reserve a little bit. So, I think back in December, one of the reasons why investors' markets didn't price in a hawkish Fed pivot was because Omicron was hanging over our heads, wasn't it? This could potentially be quite a negative threat to economic activity. But you're right. If you look at the first movers, as it were, with Omicron in terms of South Africa and the UK and other countries now starting to see the infections roll over, we didn't see a dramatic rise in hospitalizations or deaths, thankfully. So it does look as though we've managed to pass the Omicron wave in those first movers, and the economic activity hasn't been significantly impacted. So that's leading to, like I said, the market's pricing in the Federal Reserve potentially having to withdraw stimulus now because we don't have that threat of Omicron, but also some other parts of the world which are very sensitive to economic activity. You mentioned commodities. They've really recovered. So that whole dip that we saw in November and the beginning of December through the threat of Omicron, that's been reversed in things like oil markets, even things like the travel and leisure sector, took a beating with the first headlines, that's recovered, you know, let's say half of the data, if not more of the fall. So that's all good news, and that's being priced into markets as we speak.
Now, it's interesting you mentioned that sector, because I want to talk about rotation in markets with the growth versus the value trade. And of course, last week, we did see a bit of a tumble in those US technology shares. So where are we in terms of that trade at the moment, Ben?
Well, let's put the Omicron trade to one side. And like I said, travel and leisure is probably the best way of looking at that. Everything else over the last couple of weeks has been to do with yields. So it's been to do with the Fed's hawkish pivot, or the perception of that. So for example, 10-year US real yields are up nearly 40 basis points since the end of 2021 to basically Friday's close, the 14th of January. That's 40 basis points. That's a pretty big move. So that has an impact on sectors in terms of which sectors are most vulnerable to interest rate hikes. Now, there's some sectors that do very well after that. So financials historically do well. They prefer to have higher interest rates. They can charge maybe a higher premium. Some their reserves at the central banks can be earning more interest. So financials have had a great start of the year. On the other hand, sectors that perhaps have got maybe a longer duration of their cash flows, maybe more susceptible to growth, they're the ones that are doing a little bit worse. Technology, as you said, is probably the one that's been most badly impacted. So the NASDAQ, over that same period between the end of 2021 and Friday the 14th of January, that's down nearly 5% on the year. So you can see that's a pretty big correction. Still up since the beginning of 2021 by, you know, nearly 16%. So let's not worry too much. Yeah. It is just a correction. But you can see how interest rates are really having an impact on those relative returns of sectors.
Okay, and let's go from the US to China again. And you mentioned property in the doldrums again. What are we going to see there to get that sector off the floor?
Now, it has surprised me, to be honest. I mean, maybe picked up on it over the last few weeks. I thought back in November, December, the Chinese authorities had decided, look, enough is enough, and we need to support the highly indebted sectors, including the property development sector. And we did see a reserve rate requirement cut, which is sort of freeing up liquidity. We did see some modest cuts in interest rates. The sector rebounded in December, had a pretty good December, but it's been a disaster again in January. I mean, the bonds, these high yield property developer bonds, have taken another dip below what we saw even back in November, when I think everyone was really worried. Every day it feels as though it's getting worse. I think, again, today's interest rate cut is maybe partially thinking about that. Maybe policymakers need to produce more support. There's also seems to be more targeted liquidity support. There's a crucial period now, the next couple of weeks before the big holiday for Chinese New Year, you know, how much more they're going to fall. I still think that policymakers have decided they need to support this, but I guess they just haven't provided enough yet. And like I said, we're going to find out in the next few weeks. It's going to be pretty important for this sector. Just to be clear, though, we haven't seen much of an impact on the broader markets. We started to see some impact on Chinese other sectors and some of the Asia sectors, but it hasn't had any impact whatsoever on, you know, Western equity markets or credit markets. So it still is pretty much contained within China.
And has the Hang Seng itself rallied since the beginning of the year then?
Yeah, interestingly, I mean, last year the Hang Seng was a big underperformer. It had been down sort of 15% or so. But this year so far has actually rallied again up until Friday's close, sort of 4% or so. So that's done pretty well. Okay, so I think that's just bottom fishers, though. But I don't think, again, though, it is interesting that the property sector hasn't led to another decline in the Hang Seng, but the two are moving in opposite directions this year so far.
Okay, interesting. Now, what also could be interesting is the start of the Q4 corporate earnings season. Of course, a lot of this is backward looking, as we know, but the key as ever will be forward guidance. Is there anything specific you're looking for, Ben?
Well, I'm just thinking about the earnings. You know, the expectations for the S&P 500 are sort of over 20% growth still from last fourth quarter to this fourth quarter. So they're still doing pretty well. The early announcers are generally coming in the sort of beats that we would expect to happen. So it seems to be a more normal earnings season, as you said. I think, you know, what's going to be interesting, of course, is going to be inflation. You know, which companies are seeing pricing power, which companies are having to increase the wages. You know, that's the cost side. I also think it's going to be interesting to see what the Omicron wave is, because I know I've said before that, you know, it feels as though it's rolling over in certain countries, but that's probably also been because there has been a small decline in economic activity. So it'll be interesting to find out just how much that has been and which companies have been impacted.
Yeah, absolutely. So should we turn now to your number of the week? As regular listeners will know, you always end these podcasts with a number. So for the first one of 2022, what's your number, Ben, and why?
Well, it's 24. It's actually looking back into December, 24. It was 24 days it took for natural gas prices, the price of the dye track, to double in December and then halve again in December, just to show you the sorts of volatility that you can get with some crazy stuff.
I mean, that's the definition of a roller coaster.
Yeah, that is. And it's continued to be very volatile into the beginning of this year because, you know, of the situation, the geopolitical situation between Russia and Ukraine, and Russia trying to gather some promises that Ukraine won't be allowed into NATO, and, you know, troops being withdrawn, and obviously threatening with troops on the border. That does have an impact. I think it would have a huge impact, of course, if there was to escalate even further on general asset classes. But of course, natural gas would be at in the crosshairs of that, with the supply coming in from Russia. But, you know, already very volatile and could continue to be volatile for the weeks to come.
Yeah, no, that is one to watch, isn't it? Well, Ben, as always, thank you so much. As I say, really good to speak to you, and we'll do it all again next week, shall we?
If you've enjoyed listening to this podcast, you can leave us a rating, or maybe even a review if you're feeling particularly generous, on the Apple Podcast app. It really helps new listeners to find us, and we're always on the lookout for new ways we can improve. As a reminder, this podcast is intended for investment professionals only and shouldn't be shared with a non-professional audience. This podcast should not be taken as an invitation to deal in legal and general investments. Any views expressed during this recording belong to the individuals and are based on market conditions at the time of the recording and do not reflect the views of legal and general investment management. Forward-looking statements are, by their nature, subject to significant risks and uncertainties and are based on internal forecasts and assumptions and should not be relied upon. Where individual stocks are mentioned, these do not constitute a recommendation to buy or sell any security and are for illustrative purposes only. Legal and general investment management is authorised and regulated by the Financial Conduct Authority. For full terms and conditions, please visit our website. To find more great content, check us out on Twitter, LinkedIn, and our website, LGIM.com.